It's time for that show known as the Mental Comet for all of our minds. Here's your commander in mission control, Dana Rodriguez.
Wait a minute, let me get my breath. Okay. Welcome to Minds Over Matter, and happy St. Patrick's Day, everybody. We hope you are having a wonderful holiday and drinking that green beer or whatever else it's green. Looking in the back of the refrigerator, I always have plenty of green things there. But happy St. Patrick's Day, as I said. And we hope you can spare us an hour of your time tonight, because Minds Over Matter is, was, and shall always remain an audience participation quiz program. So please give us a call and participate. That number is area code 415-841-4134. Again, that number is 415-841-4134. We have some lines open right now. It's a great time to call in if you have something on your mind, a question or an answer. Well, you can, you know, save the answer until we actually ask the questions, but if you have a question. And I do want to remind you of our email address, which is mindsovermatter@yahoo.com. That's mindsovermatter, one word, at yahoo.com. If you'd like to hear our show online, you can do that anywhere in the world as we know it, simply by going to kalw.org. That's kalw.org. And if you'd like a podcast of the show, it shall be available, as I sincerely hope, afterwards at kalw.org, along with some of our older shows. We'll be covering current events, movies, history, literature, geography, television, radio, food, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And we're going to start with a round of introductions and then a round of questions. And here's the first. Jerry Nachman's house is painted green, both inside and out. His car is green, and his trainer, masseur, and acupuncturist are all Irish. So the old sod is a mighty part of his life, don't you know?
I think I'll rehearse that with you again.
You have a trainer, a masseur, and an acupuncturist?
Well, oddly enough, I do, yes.
Mr.
Weirdly, I can't believe it myself.
Couldn't you combine all those three into one?
Like a servant.
Yeah.
Mr. Carson.
I don't know. Houseboy.
It just happened. It's very bizarre. I don't know.
A cabana boy, maybe. That would be the best way to do it.
But you need to work on your Irish accent.
All right. Well, No, that's a pirate, I guess.
No, that's Arg.
Arg.
Okay, well, Leah Garchick apologizes to all her Irish friends for daring to be on tonight's show without a bagpipe.
Our moderator, Dana Rodriguez, may only be 25% Irish, but the remaining 75% is pure blarney.
All right. That is us, and began the questioning with Jerry Nachman.
Well, I don't have any Irish questions, but...
Thanks.
Who is the last president not to have a government-run presidential library? One guess.
A government-run presidential library.
I think Nixon's is privately run.
That's a tough.
I think Nixon's is privately run.
Who is this?
Nixon.
It is now, I think it was. It started out being, and then they took it over, as I remember.
Yeah.
It started out being what?
Government run, and then...
I think so.
Well, anyway, it's...
It's not Nixon.
Yeah, neither here nor there.
Yeah. All right, I'll just take a wild guess. How about Calvin Coolidge?
You knew that. That's right.
I did not know that.
Okay, you're right.
I just, because I knew that Hoover did and FDR did, and I figured everybody after that would... Did,
that's
so.
Right. Very good.
All right.
Okay. Well, let's see. How many steps per day does the average American take? Within 10%, of course. You don't know this?
No. Okay. I haven't counted them.
Irish question because of step dancing.
Oh, okay. How much step dancing does the average person do? Maybe that's a better question.
Well, it's an interesting
question. Within what?
With 10%.
10% steps. Average person in the United States.
Okay. 5,000.
Bingo. 5,117. Very good. Although the Heart Association recommends twice that many per day. And I easily equal 10,000 steps a day, going back and forth to check my emails.
Oh,
I thought between your masseuse and the
acupuncturist. Yeah.
Well, unfortunately, no. Okay, that's enough for me.
All right. Now he doesn't have to get up to change the channel on the TV anymore. And Leah, it's your turn.
Okay. What is the largest species of anteater called?
The largest species?
Mm-hmm.
You mean this is kind of a slang term, or you're laughing? Or is it, why is it funny?
I'm not going to tell
you. Is this a joke? Like,
yeah.
How
yeah.
people eat some like chocolate covered ants or something
No. What is the largest species of anteater called?
All right.
This is from a book called Unusual Creatures.
Does it have
Is it a
well known?
The name is funny to me.
Oh. Does it have anteater in the title? Like, it's like something, the blank anteater?
I'm not answering that.
All right.
Yeah.
I don't think we'll have to ask our science friends.
More importantly, I wonder how many steps it takes a day.
Those ants take a lot of steps.
Mm-hmm.
No idea.
Right. No, I do not know.
Okay.
And let's go to a call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hi, this is Peter in Berkeley.
Hi, Peter.
And my question is a popular music question.
First of all, are you sure you don't live in Union City?
Yes, I am.
All right. Because usually our first caller is from Union City. That's why.
Is that right?
Yeah.
Well, I'm breaking tradition here.
You are. Okay. I'm sorry. I didn't mean to step on your question. Go ahead.
That's all right. What American popular song is often cited, and I say that because it might be some controversy here, but it's often cited as the last number one American popular song before the British invasion. That is, before the Beatles arrived with I Want to Hold Your Hand.
Okay.
The last number one song.
So not early 1963 or 63 or 64? Okay.
Early 64.
63,
I don't know.
When you say popular song, is it a non-rock and roll song?
The reason I say popular is that I wouldn't call it rock and roll, but it's on the rock and roll charts, so...
Get a job.
Yeah, I would think it would have been an Elvis song, but that's...
Well, that could be...
I have an extra credit addendum here.
Okay.
If he's interested. What connection does that very song have to the composer Jan Sibelius?
Oh.
So...
Is it an adaption of one of his melodies?
I'm going to say.
Like the vault...
That's the extra credit.
They made popular songs out of a lot of classical melodies.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Well, I would say that might be a possibility, yeah.
But you say it's not a rock song. It's not a rock song.
Well, I wouldn't call it a rock and roll song. I remember it, and it was on the pop chart.
Was it done by... I was going to ask, was it done by a solo singer or a group?
No, a group. It was a group.
Group. The Ventures, Walk, Don't Run. No.
Was it Alvin and the Chipmunks?
They did have a number one song.
I know.
Was it Frankie Valli song?
Nope.
A group.
I don't know.
When you say a group, you mean a singing group or an orchestra?
Yes, singing group.
Okay.
The Mills Brothers. The Ames Brothers. The Ames Brothers.
The Williams Brothers.
The Four Freshmen. No, that's two...
The Ritz Brothers.
That's earlier.
No, we don't know.
Okay, you don't know.
Give us the singer. Give us the singer.
The singer in the group?
Yeah.
I don't actually know any of their individual names.
Oh, no, give us the group name.
Give you the group name.
Well, we're not going very well without that.
Well, I was hoping the listeners.
Oh, okay. Well, you can leave that out then. That's fine.
Yeah,
okay.
So I think somebody will get it.
So repeat the whole question, and we'll leave it out.
Last said to be the last American pop song at number one, week of January 18th, 1964. The following week's number one was I Want to Hold Your Hand.
Okay.
So this is the last one.
Was it Louis Armstrong's Hello Dolly?
Nope.
Okay.
Yeah, that was right.
I heard that was...
Yeah.
The Beatles knocked that off the charts.
Oh. Hmm.
Anyway.
Okay, we'll leave it out.
All right, thank you very much.
Thank you so much.
I'll be listening.
All right. All right, let's see here. I might as well ask a couple of Irish-related questions. Which two presidents have the strongest Irish heritage, having had both parents born in Ireland? Which two presidents have the strongest Irish heritage, having had both parents born in Ireland?
Well, Kennedy's mother was not born in Ireland.
No, right? Kennedy is not the an answer yeah. to...
Was his father born in Ireland?
No.
No, okay. Huh. Hmm. Wow. Two presidents.
Two.
Gee whiz.
Yeah.
I think this must go back quite a ways.
It is the 19th century, yeah. but is they're both well-known presidents.
Is it an Irish name necessarily?
Yeah, I mean, yeah, you could sort of. I mean, there's no O. Oh,
not President
like,
O'Reilly.
No, no, no.
Okay.
Oh, really? No. No. So, which two presidents have the strongest Irish heritage, having had both parents born in Ireland?
Well, I don't know. I don't know.
Okay.
Can't even.
And second question. What island, known as the Emerald Isle of the Caribbean, was founded by Irish discovered and populated by Irish immigrants, is the only place in the Caribbean to have St. Patrick's Day as a national holiday?
This is a good question for you.
No, not really. I wouldn't have known this.
Had Hispaniola, I not. Where's that?
No, Hispaniola is the island where Haiti and the Dominican Republic
are. I always liked the name.
What island, known as the Emerald Isle of the Caribbean, and it was populated in the beginning by Irish immigrants, is the only place in the Caribbean to have St. Patrick's Day as a national holiday? Okay. Hmm. And again, which two presidents have the strongest Irish heritage, having had both parents born in Ireland?
St. Bart's?
No, not St. Bart's. Not too far away, though.
I don't have any idea of geography in the Caribbean.
And the number to join us is area code 415-841-4134. And let's go to a call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
This is Gareth in Union City.
Hello.
There you are.
I've already answered that question. What was the last number one song by the American number one song that was displaced by the Beatles? I know what it was. It wasn't a group. It was a singer.
Okay. What was it?
It was Bobby Vinton's "There." I Said It Again.
Okay. That's not a group, though. He's pretty sure it's a group.
Well, he's wrong. It was "There." I Said It Again because it's, I got the information from the book of number one hits. That's the song.
Okay. All right. We'll leave it out.
We speak with great authority.
Or at least loudly.
I have a couple of questions.
Yes.
What was the first Irish, what was the name of the Irish language movie that dealt with a boy and a girl with disabilities?
What was the, say the first part of that again?
What was the name of the Yiddish language movie that was dealt with a boy and a girl with disabilities?
So Yiddish language
movie. Yiddish language movie that dealt with a boy and a girl. Was David and Lisa, was that in Yiddish?
No.
Mid-30s.
The Freilich Orphan?
Mid-30s. There were a lot of Yiddish films made in the
not
mid-30s.
Known to the public very much.
Oh, yeah, and there was a big Yiddish audience out there. A lot of them in Poland and things like that.
Yeah, but not known to the general public.
Well, not in the U.S.
Never heard any.
Is it an American film or, say, a Polish film?
No, I think it was directed by Edward Olmer.
Oh, Edward Olmer. Okay. He did a lot of Yiddish films. I know that.
Are the people's names in the title?
No.
Is there moon in the title by any chance?
No, it has something to do with the moon in the title.
Mm. Was Molly Picken in it?
Picone.
Yeah, I think so. Yeah. I'm not sure.
Yeah. Yiddle on his fiddle.
Yeah, yeah.
I think stuff like that.
Molly Picone was a terrific. What?
Greena Pizzina.
Molly Picone and Boris Tomaszewski.
Yeah. No, we don't know.
It's the light ahead.
Say it again?
The Light Ahead.
The Light Ahead. Okay, I have heard of that. I have heard
is
of that.
Is it Picon?
Yeah,
I
it's my...
Heard that.
I heard it was Picon.
Picon.
Grandfather.
Here's my other...
Molly Picken.
Here's my other question. What was John Wayne's only World War II film in color?
This is your third question, right?
No, he answered the first one from another caller, so...
His only was first Technicolor movie?
Actually, it was a movie about the founding of a country, but it actually featured some flashback scenes, World War II scenes in color.
Well, he was in The Flying Leathernecks, and that was in color, and that was World War II film.
Well, World War II, well, I didn't know that. I'll give you a clue. It was actually the founding of a nation. It appears in some World War II scenes in color.
Well, the Flying Leathernecks was in color, and that was a war film, World War II film.
Yeah, well, it was another one. It came in the mid-60s.
The mid-60s. And it's a World War II. The World War II film he made in the mid-60s was In Harm's Way, and that wasn't in color. That was in black and white.
No, it came after In Harm's Way.
66.
At Kirk Douglas.
That's In Harm's Way, and then Kirk Douglas is In Harm's Way.
Yeah, but was it the other one either with Kirk Douglas?
No.
It was Cast a Giant Shadow. It had some flashback scenes of him and Kirk Douglas liberating Dachau.
Oh, well, that was just a cameo. That wasn't in a...
He's only there for about 7 minutes.
Well, that's a cameo.
That's a cameo, yeah.
All right, thanks, Gareth.
Yeah.
And next call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hello?
Hi, you're on.
Yeah, good. I think that Irish island is Montserrat.
You're absolutely right.
Absolutely. I spent about a month there. It's a lot.
Very good. Yes, Montserrat is the Emerald Isle of the Caribbean.
It is. Yeah.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Bye-bye. And next call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hello?
Hi, you're on.
Yes, hi. This is Ellen in San Francisco.
Hi, Ellen.
I'm reflecting on something that was very big in the news earlier in the week before St. Patrick's Day came up, the papacy. So I think everyone knows that most of the popes, there have been something over 200 popes, and almost all of them were from Italy, or pieces that we would now consider to be Italy. But the longest run of popes coming entirely from Italy went from 1523 to 1978. So my question is, who was it who broke that long run in 1978?
It was John the 23rd, wasn't it?
No, that was before. John the 23rd was Italian. So you're looking for the non-Italian. Oh. Well, then Pope John Paul the
First. The one who died?
Yeah, John Paul the Second.
John Paul the Second, yeah.
Right.
Right.
And where was he from?
Poland.
Of course. So there are a few countries that have had a single pope so far. One never knows what would happen in the future. What would you think would be the three countries with a single pope?
I think England had one. Adrian, right?
Exactly. Adrian the Fourth.
Has there been more than one pope from Germany?
Yes, three.
Okay.
Including, of course, the last one.
Right.
Benedict the 16th.
And wasn't there a pope from Holland or the Netherlands?
Yes. Right. Interestingly enough, he was Adrian the Sixth.
Oh.
Okay. And one other country, which is a bit of a surprise, because we don't think of England and of course, Adrian was before the Reformation, so everybody was Catholic.
Right.
This is a Catholic country.
It is a Catholic country.
With a single pope.
Is it Hungary or someplace like that?
No.
It's a Catholic country.
Spain,
yeah. Maybe.
Spain, yes. Calixtus III in the 15th century, who was a Borgia. Maybe that's the curse.
Oh.
That there was never another one from Spain. All right, thank you.
Thank you so much. All right.
Is Pope Pius Italian?
Well, there have been a lot of Pope Piuses.
Oh, the last one.
The 12th.
During the war.
Yes.
Yeah.
It was Italian.
Okay.
And you're listening to Minds Over Matter. We're here every Sunday at 7. Hope you're enjoying the show. And please feel free to give us a call if you'd like to ask us a question or you have an answer to one of ours. The number is area code 415-841-4134. Again, that's 415-841-4134. You are listening to us on 91.7 FM. That's KALW, your local public radio station. Our panel tonight is well-known Bay Area author Jerry Nachman from the San Francisco Chronicle, columnist Leah Garchik. I'm your moderator, Dana Rodriguez. And Jerry, it's your turn.
Okay, well, usually I wait to ask baseball questions when Laurie is on, but Leah's a big baseball fan. So only one active Major League Baseball player now wears number 42, which is Jackie Robinson's number, which will be retired permanently when this current player retires. Who is that player?
Yeah, Leah, jump right in there. Is this a well-known player?
Yeah.
No idea.
Don DiMaggio is retired now, so I don't know. I have no idea.
I know you wouldn't.
You're right. Repeat the question.
Only one active Major League Baseball player now wears number 42, Jackie Robinson's number, which will be retired permanently when this current player retires. Who is he?
And obviously, the it's not with the same team that Jackie Robinson was on. This player who wears number 42.
I should say I shouldn't answer that, but no.
Okay, I didn't think so.
Okay.
And let's go to a call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hi, this is Dick Radul from the Carneros.
Hi.
In honor of St. Patrick's Day, I've got a couple questions about James Cagney.
Okay.
In several films, he portrayed real people. Can you name the films and the individuals he portrayed?
Well, George M. Cohan and right. Yankee Doodle Dandy,
right.
Of course.
He was Bull Halsey in
that's right.
One that Robert Montgomery directed. So I can't think of the name of it now.
How many are there, caller?
There are four.
Four, okay. He played the police commissioner in Ragtime. Wasn't that a real person?
Rhinelander Waldo, yes.
No.
That was a real person.
Yeah.
That was one on me. I wasn't aware of that.
Okay,
one.
I wasn't sure if that was a real character.
It was a real character.
Real character,
yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. And
the Gallant Hours was the Bull Halsey.
Okay, thank you.
Gallant Hours, yeah, okay.
We have two other films.
Oh, he played Ruth Etting's husband in Love Me or Leave Me, who was a real gangster, Snyder. His name was Snyder.
Geez, you beat me up on this one.
All right.
Well, you're...
And
still have two. How's that?
He made a movie called The Frisco Kid that I think he played a real person a gangster from 19th century San Francisco. I can't remember it. Bat something.
Bat Masterson.
No, not Bat Masterson. It was Bat something now. And, all right, let's think now.
You're telling me I need to do more research, Dana, but I got...
That's all right. That's all right. Dana will come up with these.
Let's see. What are we missing here? What's the one that we're missing? Or maybe there's more than one.
No, two.
Two.
Can you give us a decade for each of those?
Well, one of them I know is the 40s. They may have both, and I think one may have been the 50s. One was definitely the 40s, and I think the other one was the 50s.
So we had George M. Cohan. Jerry got that, and... I don't know.
Did he play any other real life gangsters?
No gangsters.
Okay.
No, you better fill us in.
Okay, well, George M. Cohan in The Seven Little Foys.
That's right.
Very good.
And then Lon Chaney in Man of
Course. Yeah, that was silly.
Anyway,
well, I'll do more research next time.
That's okay.
Well, thanks for the question. Now.
Okay.
Bye-bye. And Leah, it's your turn.
We love to pull the rug out from under our collars.
No,
I'm just kidding.
Among lexicographers, people who work on dictionaries, what is a ghost word? Mm. And how is, this will maybe give you a clue, gravy is a ghost word.
I was going to suggest the ghost word is something that is no longer in general use, or it applies to something that is no longer in general use.
Gravy wouldn't qualify.
No. Yeah, gravy would.
No.
Well, I have some gravy in my refrigerator. It's no longer in general use. Gravy is...
Is that a word that has a different meaning or another related meaning? Not related, another... Okay. No, that's too broad.
Ghost word. Okay. So it has nothing to do with it having a completely different meaning when the word first was coined. Does it anything to do with that?
Hello?
Sort of and sort of not.
I forgot you asked the question.
All right. Well,
can you give us another typical, another word like gravy? Well, gravy didn't help us very
much. No, gravy didn't help at all. All right. Do you repeat the question for everybody there?
What is, for lexicographers, what is a ghost word? And then how is gravy one?
All right. So the original meaning is lost of time.
We don't know.
All right. And let's go to a call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hi, this is Sal from Atlanta. How
Hello.
Are you?
Good, thank you.
Good. I actually have a word question, too. I'm going to give you a couple of words and see if you can tell me the definitions. Sesquipedalian.
Oh, yeah. That means...
I could give you a hint.
Yeah.
It's a seven-syllable word?
Close. I could tell you that sesquipedalian is a sesquipedalian. It's more general than what you said.
Oh, more general. Okay.
Sesqua.
That's six.
would be six. That's why it's technically would be a six-syllable word, but,
right.
But that's not what the definition is. It's come to mean something else. It's more general. I'll just give you that. It's a long word because I guess so. Sesquipedalian is a sesquipedalian. That was going to be my clue, but really I was calling you about this word, and I was thinking you should know this. What is a cruciverbalist?
Could you spell that for us?
Yes, cruciverbalist. Cruciverbalist.
It's a person who talks of broccoli and cauliflower.
No.
Because those are cruciferous vegetables.
I can give you a good hint on this one, too, especially since this person is not on the panel tonight. But there is someone who's a regular panelist who would have to have been recused when I gave that question.
Is it Joshua Cosman?
I'm not going to say.
So it's crossword. It's a crossword puzzle doer.
Cruciverbalist.
Someone who creates crossword.
Oh, okay.
There you go.
Okay.
All right, thank you.
Thank you so much. And let's see. Leah, you just did a question, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. All right, I have a couple of street questions, San Francisco street questions. And... Golden Gate Avenue was originally named for which president? You know, there are a lot of streets named after presidents in the U.S., and this is a fairly major street, and it was originally named for which president? The name was changed when the park opened, because Golden Gate Avenue leads out there.
Harding Avenue.
No.
Madison Avenue.
No.
I give up.
Oh, let's see. Would have to be some... It's not... I'm just thinking of almost all the presidents have streets named after them, so it's not Efren Rutherford B. Hayes, nor Fillmore.
No, nor Pierce.
Nor Franklin Pierce, right.
Right.
Yeah.
So think it over. Golden Gate Avenue was originally named for which president?
Coolidge.
No. Leah's on the right track. It's a 19th century president.
Right.
Okay. All right. I will.
Not Graham.
I'll give you this one too because it's almost the same sort of thing. What was the first alley so named? In other words, it was called an alley in San Francisco. It's between Jackson and Washington.
Oh. Between Jackson and Washington, where?
I'm just going to tell you it's between Jackson and Washington.
Oh, is it Merchants or Commercial or something?
No.
Like that? Merchants? Is it? It must be down near
by
the waterfront.
Of America.
Yeah.
Let's just repeat the question. What was the first alley? And it was called an alley, so named in the official name in San Francisco. It's between Jackson and Washington Street.
Oh, I know what it is. It's where the Villa Taverna is, that alley. I can picture it.
Military. Oh, I know that little street. Yeah.
What's the name of it?
Oh, I can't remember. I've been there to lunch, and I can't.
It used to be an alley that was, or a street, or an alley, I suppose. It was always an alley. It was lined with brothels.
Yeah, I'm sure. I could look it up in a minute.
But no, you can't.
I can see it, but I can't.
Me too. No.
All right. That was the, so again, what was the first alley in the, that's so-called an official in the name, it was Blank Alley, in San Francisco?
Huddling.
No.
Oh, that's good.
That's the one I was thinking of, though.
Between Jackson and Washington Streets.
It's an Irish name, isn't it?
No.
Oh, okay.
I would say no.
Okay.
It's not an Irish name.
Right.
And Golden Gate Avenue, a well-known street in San Francisco, which was originally named for what president? What president? And the number to join us is area code 415-841-4134. That's 415-841-4134. And let's go to a call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hi, Ed, how are you?
Good.
I have two questions for you. One is, I want you to name two countries named after two chemical elements. That's an easy one.
Well, Argentina, we already did this, I think, once.
Yeah. What Argentina means, by the way?
Silver.
Silver.
Yeah.
So the chemical elements were not named after the country. The country was named after the chemical elements.
Yeah. I think we asked someone.
I think we did.
Yeah.
Yeah, you did that before, but I know that. What is the second country? But you did not do the second country, by the way.
Oh, he didn't. Okay.
You never had the second country.
Rhodium.
Okay. It is in the Mediterranean.
Oh.
Cyprus is copper?
Of course. What's the name of the country?
Cyprus.
That's it.
That's what I just said.
Yeah. Oh, she said Cyprus, actually. Yeah.
Bill, so
good
the
job.
The question I have is, this was called, in the Old Testament, the twin prophets. Twin prophets. They were twins.
Oh, they were twins?
They were twins.
Are they well known?
Hmm? They were known.
Are they well known?
Marion and Vivian.
Minneapolis and St. Paul.
They're famous. They're well known.
But they were twins.
Yeah.
I never heard of any twins in the Bible.
No, I don't think Castor and Pollux were in the Old Testament.
I don't know.
Twins.
I'll give you hints, since it is okay. So one of them was, his name means he is holding his brother. Really, in Arabic and old language, his brother behind. Well, they call it heel, but it's really his brother behind. Aqab means behind. So he was holding his brother behind.
Jacob and Esau? But they weren't twins.
They were twins.
Oh,
they were
really?
Twins. But what happened is Jacob wanted to go out first. I mean, because the anger would take over. So he was trying to push back Esau back into the womb. So when Jacob can go out first. All right, it's
after fun. You, please. So, after
yeah,
you.
But the other thing, Jacob had changed his name. Do you know why and when?
Mm. Sounded too Jewish.
No, we don't know.
No, it's a very famous thing. How about a ladder?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, what is the what Jacob's new name became?
Ladder.
Huh? I'll, you know.
We don't know.
About the father of nation of?
Brandon.
No, after he had the struggle with God, after grabbing Lazarus, then God gave him a new name. What was the name?
We don't know.
Israel.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Okay, two questions for you.
Wait, we are.
No. You had a bunch of questions here.
This is very important.
I know, it's always very important. Nope, sorry.
Next week.
And
very important.
We are a little
nothing
past,
on this show is very important. No. That's the point of it.
We're a little past halfway through the show, so let's repeat anything that hasn't been answered yet. Jerry?
Okay, only one active Major League Baseball player now wears number 42, Jackie Robinson's old number, which will be retired permanently when this current player retires. Who is he?
Okay. And Leah?
What is a ghost word, as illustrated by the word gravy? And what's the name of the largest species of anteater?
Perhaps you should tell people why you're coughing, because you're a little under the weather. And...
yeah, but it's not TB. Don't worry.
All right, yeah. Okay. So she'll be all right.
She looks great. She looks fine.
Looks fine.
Robust as ever.
She didn't have to take any time off from work at all. So that's what the doctor said.
Trying to get, just a ploy for your sympathy.
Yeah, obviously. It really is. And she just wanted somebody to bring her soup, basically.
Friend did.
Yeah. All right. So which two presidents have the strongest Irish heritage, having had both parents born in Ireland?
Gee.
Which two presidents are that?
Rutherford Hayes.
No. Mm-mm.
I thought Rutherford was an Irish name.
Yeah. And I'm sure he is born Irish. So what was the first alley, or what is the first alley so named in San Francisco? So the official name of it's called Blank Alley. And it's between Jackson and Washington. What is the name of that alley? And Golden Gate Avenue was originally named for what president? It's a 19th century president. No big surprise there. So who is that?
How about James Tyler?
All except John Tyler.
John Tyler.
Yes, it's John Tyler. Very good. Mm. Very good. It was Tyler Street.
Okay.
Okay. And let's go to a call.
It doesn't... I'm just thinking, it doesn't go all the way to Golden Gate Park.
Well, maybe it did originally.
It's...
I
believe it's north of the park.
Is it?
Yeah, because I take Golden Gate to... I mean, I'm familiar with Golden Gate.
That's true, you are.
So,
I'm sorry.
It ends in Arguello, I think. Something like that.
Are you there, caller?
Yep, I'm here.
I'm sorry, we didn't mean to talk over
you. Oh, that's okay. I didn't want to cut her off.
Right.
Sorry.
Oh, that's okay. Well, I knew Tyler Street, so that leaves me with just two guesses.
There's a bell for you.
Oh, thank you. I am going to guess that, although it's almost embarrassing to guess this, that the largest species of anteater is called a giant anteater.
You're right. Oh.
Okay. Very good. Good question. Yeah.
Now that I've brazened that one out.
Yeah.
Okay. The first caller of the evening is asking about a song, and his follow up question was, "What does that have to do with Sibelius?"
Mm-hmm.
So I'm no expert on Sibelius, but there was sort of a novelty number one hit in the early '60s that was based on "Flight of the Bumblebee."
Well, that's not Sibelius.
Oh, it's not? Okay.
That's Rimsky-Korsakov.
Okay, thank you. Well, then it's not Bee Bumble and the Stingers with their hit Nut Rocker.
Yeah. I like that, though.
All right. Thanks, guys.
Thank you very much.
Bye-bye.
And, Jerry, I think it's your turn.
Okay. What state has the highest obesity rate?
Louisiana.
No. I'll give you two guesses
each. We had
each.
That question years ago.
It sounds a little familiar, but...
Okay. Well, Leah, I think was on the right track with Louisiana. Is it West Virginia?
It is.
All right.
All right. Okay, where do we get the term private eye?
Well, an eye investigates things, and a private one means non-police.
No, it's more specific than that. That's true, but it's more specific than that.
More specific. All right. How far back does it go?
Oh, I, for investigator.
Yeah, but more specific.
That's good.
No, okay. No. Just no. The I and the I, that's not... No.
You think not?
No. Okay. Not this answer. It's a good answer, but it's not the one I have.
I don't know. I like your answer.
Private I, E-Y-E, but maybe there is a pun. I don't know.
Yeah. So, I'm sorry, what do you want here? The origin of it?
The origin of the term private I.
Okay.
It's a very specific origin. And I would say...
Anything to do with Pinkerton?
Yes.
Okay. Well, So, yeah, Pinkerton was the first private detective agency in the United States.
Sure.
And helped protect Lincoln. Something to do with this?
Nothing to do with Lincoln.
Nothing to do with Lincoln. Okay. All
had
right.
Something to do with Madame Butterfly, too.
Yeah, good. No, can't go any further than that.
Okay.
All right. And let's go to a call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Good evening. It's Rocky and Maddie. How are you all doing?
Good.
Well, to answer your question, Jerry, 42, currently wearing, the only person It's the one who's finally going to retire after the season.
Right, right.
Mariano Rivera.
Very good. The Yankee pitcher. The great Yankee reliever, yeah.
Yeah.
Good one. I knew you would know it.
Well, yeah.
As soon as I heard your voice.
Yeah. President with a strong Irish connection. Is one of them Andrew Jackson?
Andrew Jackson, yes. Both his parents were born in Ireland, yes. Very
right.
good.
Leah, ghost word. Is it a word that really has no proper etymology?
No.
Okay.
That's a good
well,
guess.
No.
That has no really, you know, roots.
No like. Roots, yeah.
I'm not
that winds up being true, but that's not really the reason what yeah. it is.
Oh, yes, and let me ask you this, Leah. I asked the gentleman last week. There is a four-letter acronym in Twitter speak that shares its name with a California county. Do you know what it is?
Yeah, YOLO.
Yeah, now you know.
Yeah.
What is it? What does it stand for?
You only live once.
Oh, okay.
A lot of people saying, oh, take your chance, YOLO, you know, that kind
yeah,
of thing.
Yeah, yeah, okay.
But if you do it right, once is enough, so Sinatra said.
That's okay, ring-a-ding-ding-ding, we're out.
All right, thank you.
Right.
Bye-bye. And Leah, it's your turn.
What was George Washington's favorite snack?
Oh, those little cheese crackers with peanut butter in between. No.
Pigs in a blanket, no.
Beef jerky.
Gummy bears.
Beef jerky.
No, with his teeth? No, he couldn't.
Malamars.
Yeah.
No, no.
those little Debbie snack cakes.
Yeah,
I like
yeah.
those a lot.
Are they still around?
Yeah.
Is it? Pretzels.
Pretzels.
Well, why is that funny?
That's I don't know. Do they have pretzels?
Great
yeah, I guess they have pretzels.
General Steuben brought them over.
And they're still, you can still buy them in the store, huh? Whatever they are.
Yeah.
Is it an
animal crackers?
Is it a natural kind of food?
I'm not saying.
Jelly
yeah,
beans.
It's a natural kind of
jelly
food.
Beans, like
no,
Reagan. Yeah,
no.
Okay.
Like, you know, a fruit or something like that.
Oh, yeah, right. Yeah.
Yeah. You know, raisins.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yo play, maybe.
Kettle chips.
Pomegranates.
All right, repeat the question, Leah.
Carrot sticks, no.
George Washington's favorite snacks. That image of him on the horse in the painting, he really doesn't show is his lunchbox.
He's
on
got
the
some,
other side.
Yeah, he's got
just
some,
packed with juice boxes.
Flintstone chewable vitamins.
He's got some Thin Mints in there. Yeah.
Girl Scout cookies.
Yeah, right.
And let's go to a call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
It's Peter in Glen Park.
Hi, Peter.
I know George Washington liked to show off his strength by cracking walnuts between his fingers.
Ooh, that was good. I like that.
Not between his teeth, that's for sure.
Not walnuts?
No, walnuts.
Oh, okay.
That's a good guess.
That is a good guess.
And let's see, I have a question.
Yes.
The Irish clan of O'Brien is large, numerous. From whom are they descended?
From whom are they descended?
The guy that the life of Brian was about.
Nope.
Brian Boru?
Yes, very
who's,
good.
Who's that?
Old King of Ireland.
Oh.
He was the one that came closest to ruling the whole island of Ireland ever. Oh. And that was in the 11th century.
Right.
Very good.
Thank you.
Thanks, guys.
Had a real Irish question, yeah.
And, okay, I have some song lyrics for you, and they're all by the same composer, lyricist. So here we go. Just one answer each, please. Oh, what a fine bunch of Rubens. Oh, what a J atmosphere. So again, I pick out individual lines from the song, refrain. Oh, what a fine bunch of Rubens. Oh, what a J atmosphere.
That's a Cohan song, yeah.
Yes. And the second is Whisper of How I'm Yearning. And the third is But There Is Something There That Sounds So Square. And the fourth is where there's never a boast or a brag. So once more, these are four individual lines from songs. Oh, what a fine bunch of Rubens. Oh, what a J atmosphere. Second is a whisper of how I'm yearning. The third is, but there is something there that sounds so square. And the fourth is, but there's never a boast or a brag. And
whisper
you each get one guess.
Whisper of how I'm yearning to mingle with the old time gal.
Give there you
my
go.
Regards to old
That's
Broadway
it.
And
Very good. Yeah, you just have to sing it. And what was the one with square in the title?
But there is something there that sounds so square.
Yeah, there's something there that sounds... I know that's a Cohan song. And
they're all Cohan songs.
Oh, they're all Cohan.
Yes.
Oh, okay. Oh,
because this being St. Patrick's Day.
Oh, very good. How much of Rubens?
Can I get another guess?
It's not.
If Jerry misses, I'll give you another guess.
Rubens, it's not. Well, it's probably more prominent, better known than this. You wrote a song called 45 Minutes from Broadway. Is that it?
That's what it is.
Okay.
Yes.
Right.
Yes.
45 Minutes from Broadway.
Yeah.
Oh, what a fine bunch of Rubens. Oh, what a J atmosphere.
Do you know what that means?
Ruben is a rube.
A rube.
And a J atmosphere is like a rural,
right.
You know, atmosphere.
Hick. Hicks were called J's.
Yeah.
And there is never a boast or brag, as it's a grand old flag.
Very good.
Right. Right.
Oh, that's good. Okay, so we're looking for the one with the square.
Yes, but there is something there that sounds so square.
Oh, I know what it is. Mary is a grand old name.
Yeah, it's a grand old name. Mary.
It's a grand old name.
Mary,
Mary.
There.
Yeah.
Right. It sounds so square.
We did excellent on that.
Yes, you did excellent. Okay, you answered all those. So I will ask this St. Patrick's Day question. What are the only two states where Irish ancestry is not in the top five?
How many states?
There are only two states in the U.S. where Irish ancestry is not in the top five list of ancestries of the residents.
Arizona.
No.
Hawaii.
Hawaii is one.
And
Alaska.
New Mexico.
New Mexico is the other.
Okay.
Very good.
That's close.
Oh, you're killing me. All right. all right, let's go to a call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hey, how are you guys doing?
Good, thank you.
I always look forward to listening to you every Sunday.
Thank you.
But I'm mad at myself on one of the questions because I was going through something and it talked about ghost words. And I said, oh, I'll go back and look at it later, just this week.
Hmm.
So I don't have an answer for that. But for the alley, was it maybe Rumble? Was it Maiden Lane?
No.
It was not Maiden Lane.
That's in Union Square, yeah.
Thank you, though. And... the number to join us is area code 415-841-4134. Again, that's area code 415-841-4134. And let's go to a call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hello?
Hi, you're on.
Oh, hi. This is Brian in the Mission. And oddly enough, I have a question following up the giant anteater.
All right.
The smallest one is called the tiny anteater.
Really?
Right.
Oh, yeah.
Recently, there was an anteater death in a zoo, and can you tell me what they found when they did the autopsy inside the anteater?
I don't want to know.
This is beginning to. This,
I don't want
to
know.
This sounds like the lead up to a joke to me. Is this a joke?
Well, does Leah know the answer?
No, I don't.
What did you find? What did they find?
They found a bunch of antibodies.
There you
okay.
go. I saw that coming. Thank you so much.
Sorry.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
And next call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hi, this is Ray in Berkeley.
Hi, Ray.
I have read recently that George Washington actually lost his teeth by cracking Brazil nuts over and over with his teeth. I don't know if that's true, but was that his favorite snack?
No.
Well, okay, well, this may be one of those false things out there on the world of information. I have a sort of an answer in the form of a question. Your alley's question was posed in the Chinese New Year's treasure hunt this way.
Oh.
Lawrence of Arabia re-enlisted after World War I under a false name, an assumed name in the English military. What was that name?
Mm.
And you can put that out there if you like.
All right. We'll do that.
Okay. And is a ghost word one of those words like a false plural, like the word pea as the singular of peas, where peas is not actually a plural word?
No.
Okay. Well, thanks again.
Thank you.
Okay.
Appreciate it.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. And next call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hi, this is Peter from Berkeley again.
Hi.
I was the first caller. My question got kind of derailed by somebody who called in and said that he had the answer. And apparently the guy's got a complete collection of Billboard magazines because he was able to look it up in Billboard. There are different charts, and the chart I was using was the Record World chart. And it's actually a group. It's the Mermaids.
Huh.
And the song was Popsicles, Icicles, if you remember that.
No.
And the connection to Sibelius is this, that's those themes taken from his fifth symphony, the Swan theme.
Oh.
And it goes Popsicles, Icicles, like that.
Interesting. So, I was not aware of
that. That was a hit, eh? That
was a hit. I was kind of assuming that people were not encouraged to use the internet to answer questions.
We do not encourage them to use the internet.
We discourage it.
What?
We discourage it.
You discourage it. Yeah.
So my
question got derailed by somebody who did. So.
But since I do know this person, and I don't think he may well have known it without looking it up.
No, he said he looked it up in Billboard.
Oh, okay. Or maybe that wasn't the person I was thinking of then.
Well, 20 lashes.
I have a question for you.
Yes.
So, all that being said, name a 1940s movie that was the sequel to two other movies simultaneously.
What do you mean simultaneously?
Well, there were two other movies that were previous to this movie, and this was a sequel to both of them.
So is it one of the Topper movies?
No. No, the movies that it's a sequel to, it's not like a series like the Topper movies.
Right. Oh, it's not a series, but it's a sequel.
Yeah, they're two different movies, and they kind of came together in this sequel.
I see.
So anyway, you can put it out there if you don't know it.
Okay. You want to give us somebody who was in the movie?
No.
That's true. This is,
All right.
So it's kind of a, okay. That's my question.
All right, we'll put it out.
Thank you.
And let's see, Jerry, you have something you want to throw in quickly? Or we'll ask Leah to do it, since she's here less often than you.
Yeah, Leah can throw something.
All right, Leah, do you have anything?
What's Bill Clinton's favorite cake?
His favorite cake. Cake. Is it a fairly well-known cake, would you say? Okay.
Favorite cake. Chocolate angel food cake.
No.
Strawberry. Something with strawberries.
No.
Okay. If you told us the name, would we say to ourselves, oh, that makes a certain amount of sense?
I don't know.
Is it a cake or a pie? It's definitely a cake.
Cake.
Okay. Right. Oh, gee. Mm-hmm. Well.
It's not fruit cake.
Name a cake. I can't even think of a cake.
Well, you know, I'm chocolate.
Yeah, no. I know. It's got to be chocolate or it's not a cake. Seven-layer cake.
No.
All right. Leave it up. And let's go to a call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hi, this is Caroline of Pacific Heights.
Hello.
Hi, I believe that alley would be Ross Alley.
It is Ross Alley. Very good.
Yeah.
Excellent.
I don't remember that name. Okay.
It's also known in that section of town as Lu Sung Alley.
Song? Isn't that where Brussels were that Scots woman rescued all the girls from? What was her name?
Cameron.
Julia Cameron.
Yeah.
Right.
So this is just west of Grant Avenue.
Yeah.
It's parallel to Grant. Yeah, I was thinking Hodling is farther east. Yeah.
Good job.
It's where the Cockettes did their original production of Pearls Over Shanghai.
Mm.
It was wonderful. When they found all of those old costumes from the Chinese opera company that had been left in the basement of the Pagoda Palace, they used those costumes for them.
Good. Thank you. I'm glad you got that.
Okay, bye-bye.
Yes.
What was that? Over Shanghai?
Pearls Over Shanghai.
Pearls Over Shanghai.
Ross Alley, yes, was the first officially named alley in San Francisco. And next call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hi, this is AJ from Berkeley.
Hi.
About the question with the Irish descendants in states.
Yes.
Is Texas one of them?
Texas is not one. Leah, I think, got both of them, but that I'll be glad to repeat them. One is Hawaii, and the other is New Mexico.
New Mexico.
So those are the only two states where the Irish ancestry is not in the top five ancestries of the, okay, of the residents.
And about George Washington's favorite food, didn't he really like fish?
No, this is a snack.
Snack. Snack food.
Oh, snack. Okay, well, thanks.
Thank you.
How about goldfish?
And next call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hello.
Hi, you're on.
Yes, is the cake one from which a woman jumps out? And...
No.
That would be the logical conclusion, but no.
Oh, well.
Thank you. And next call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hello?
Hi, you're on.
Oh, yeah, got a question. Did you ever get an answer on that sesqua word when you had the crossword word and the sesqua word?
Yeah, we did.
We got, yes.
It means excessively wordy.
That's right.
Excessively wordy.
And the other thing, I guess it wasn't cherries, the George Washington favorite. That's why he chopped down his father's tree. But on the George M. Cohen song, 25 Minutes to Broadway, according to the movie, Yankee Doodle Dandy, what was 25 minutes?
45 minutes.
What was 45 minutes from Broadway?
It was New Rochelle or something like
that's
that.
That's right.
Yeah.
Exactly. Very good.
New
yeah.
Rochelle. Okay, have a good weekend.
Thank you so much. And, okay, time to clean up here. What do we have?
Well, the term Private Eye was in the logo of the Pinkerton Detective
We
Agency.
Never Sleep. That was the logo, wasn't it? We Never Sleep? That was their motto?
It might be, but that was part of the logo. Yeah, right. The Private Eye.
Okay.
That's it.
Okay, Leah?
A ghost word is a word that derives from an error, and gravy came from the old French granet, grain of sand, which was mistakenly written as gravy, as G-R-A-V-E. Someone wrote G-R-A-N-E. But so the word gravy came out of a mistake.
Oh,
I see. So any word that comes out of a mistake
is called a ghost word.
Okay.
The George Washington's favorite snacks were hazelnut, and yeah. Bill Clinton's favorite cake is carrot.
I was going to say that.
Carrot. Okay, the two presidents have had the strongest Irish heritage, having had both parents born in Ireland. Somebody got Andrew Jackson. The other is James Buchanan. I think that is it for me. All right, so if we did not get your call, we do apologize. Please remember that Minds Over Matter is here every Sunday at 7 p.m. Our thanks to Jerry Nachman and Leah Garchik from the San Francisco Chronicle. I've been your moderator, Dan Rodriguez. Our thanks to Eric Wayne and Steve Wilcott for handling the board and phones. And above all, our thanks to you out there for taking the time to tune in and call in. Have a great week, everybody. Happy St. Patrick's Day. Be careful and join us next Sunday at 7. Bye-bye.